saw blood magic as an encroaching red haze that couldn't penetrate his mental defenses. Spirit magic manifested as specters that were similarly rebuffed by his mental walls. Richter placed himself in his mindscape now. When he had initially heard about the murder, he had felt betrayed. Not by the men who had committed the act. He felt as if the village itself had betrayed an unspoken covenant between them. To be perfect. To be the one thing he could rely upon in this violent world. Richter knew intellectually that his reaction made no logical sense. He also knew that didn't matter. You could not apply rational arguments to solve an emotional problem. Thoughts and feelings were not necessarily oppositional, but they were two distinct paradigms of existence. There might be overlap, but each operated by its own set of natural laws. What that translated into was that if Richter was going to find peace, he needed to deal with his emotions, not intellectualize why they were not valid. Richter settled himself into a kneeling position under the quickening. He had tried meditation before on Earth, even going so far as to adopt a lotus position, but it had always felt like he was going to tip over. Kneeling was good enough for him. For the next several minutes, he took cleansing breaths. Once he felt reasonably centered, he summoned his mindscape. A representation of the village appeared in his mind. The one addition was the fort of his mental defenses. He stood atop its ramparts and looked around. The walls of the village were the boundaries of his conscious mind, and near the periphery, he imagined a pool of filth. Those were his negative feelings about the murder. Richter had long ago learned that the first step in dealing with negative emotions was to accept that they were part of you. A basic mistake that people made over and over was to try and deny the worst parts of themselves. I am not angry, jealous, vindictive, petty, etc. Though it was only natural to shy from difficult truths, denial did not give you control over yourself. It merely ignored a part of what you were. That was actually the complete absence of control. It was why people suddenly snapped or boiled over. No, Emerson had been right. Trust thyself. Every heart vibrates to that iron string. Richter examined his feelings. For long minutes, he confronted his anger, his sense of betrayal, and his sadness. Another wonderful perk of his mindscape was that it changed how he perceived the flow of time. When he committed his consciousness to the psychic plane, time moved slower. Alma had told him that the deeper their bond, the more he would benefit from this shift in perception. At Psi-Bond level 6, time moved 6 times slower. Spending 10 minutes meditating gave him a full hour to confront his feelings. Once he was emotionally ready, he imagined cutting a trench in the ground near the pool of filth that was filled with his negative thoughts and emotions. With sludge-like slowness, the ugliness drained out of his mental village. Then he thought of his resolve to do whatever the situation required as a cleansing rain that blanketed his mental village, washing the last of the negativity away. The more he used his mindscape, the more impressed Richter was with its power. It might only be an example of mind over matter, or it might be his proximity to the quickening, but afterward, he felt much more at peace. It wasn't long after that Hisako found him.
Your chamberlain has told me what has happened, Lord Richter. I am sorry this has come to pass.
Her voice was soft and sympathetic. Richter looked at the Sprite Master. I'm going to listen to the story from the accused, but, he paused and took a deep breath. If what Randolphus told me is true, his voice firmed and his tone was as implacable as gravity. If these men raped and murdered in my village, I'm going to kill them. She was silent for a moment. When she spoke, there was neither agreement nor condemnation in her voice.
You must do what you believe is right, no matter what you decide. I am your ally.
He looked at the red-headed woman, really looked at her, for the first time in a while. Her fine Asian-appearing features communicated a solidity and understanding that he imagined must have come from decades of rule. Part of him had hoped that she would provide some perfect words of wisdom, that she would tell him what to do, and he wouldn't have to decide the fate of 14 people. When she finished speaking, he realized that wasn't going to happen. Hisako didn't give him a false smile or a stern judgment. She just stood there and gave him her support. A few moments later, Richter realized that was enough. He stood and smiled at her. There was no real happiness in the expression, but it was still warm. It was a show of appreciation that did not need to be explained. The two leaders stood there for a time, listening to the pixie children's innocent and unaware peals of laughter. Allura flew down from the branches above and shared their company. The three of them merely existed in that frozen moment of peace until reality forced it to shatter. Chapter 40, Day 143, Kuborn 33, 0 AOC. Randolphus approached with a grave expression upon his face. He bowed to Hisako and Allura, who inclined their heads in turn. Then he turned to his liege. It is time. Richter asked Allura to stay behind so that she could keep her children near the tree. The pixie queen, though young, understood what was to come and readily agreed. She had seen many horrors before being cocooned in the chrysalis so long ago. The queen had no desire for her children to see the trial. The Chaos Seed reached into his bag and pulled out his swords. He also donned his armored boots. Other than that, he wore no armor. The enchanted blades were enough to illustrate his power. Long ago, he had been told that while the badge of a police officer was the symbol of his authority, his gun was the power behind that authority. All knew Richter was the lord of the village, but a visible reminder of the power he wielded might serve him well in the next hour. With that done, Hisako, Randolphus, and Richter began their walk. The Trinity moved in silence through the meadow, though there was a laughing tumult around them. Randolphus had gathered all the village children and the children of the freed prisoners and brought them up from the village. The former prisoners' children were huddled together as they could not see far in the mist, but it was the work of a moment to clear a suitable area. Soon they were all playing in blissful ignorance. A dozen villagers were assigned to watch them. Their own expressions were slightly strained. Every adult in the village now knew what was about to happen. They bowed to the rulers as they walked by. Richter returned the respect, but did not tarry. The three continued down the hill and into the village. No one was milling about. The ringing of the forge was silenced. No smiling faces greeted Richter. The village was waiting, breath caught, tense in the silence. It seemed to Richter that it took no time at all to reach the feast area from the night before. More than 1,000 people stood in a half circle in front of the stage, villagers and freed captives intermingled. Kneeling before the simple wooden platform were 12 men and women. Some looked angry, some cried silently, and some just wallowed in grim acceptance of whatever was to come. Guards stood behind them, keeping them down. On the stage itself, two men stood, bound and gagged. One was actively struggling. His eyes were wild as he strained against the cloth in his mouth. He was well-muscled, with olive skin and wild black hair. It took two guards to restrain him, one on each arm. Despite the obvious and precarious nature of his situation, he still glared defiantly at Richter as the Chaos Seed approached. The other man just stood quietly off to the side, bound, restrained. His head hung low, and he had an air of defeat about him. The murmuring crowd quieted as Richter ascended the stage. Hisako and Randolphus stayed with him. Tirad stood at attention near the two captives. With a loud and official voice, Richter barked, "Report!"
"Sir!"
Tirad replied loudly, clapping his hand to his chest. The easy humor that normally typified the man's demeanor was absent. Today, he was a soldier who was duty-bound to keep the peace, and his lord had given him an order. The captain relayed the events for all to hear. How the body had been found, how the freed prisoners had been questioned. The report ended with the arrest of the 14 men and women. The one still straining against his bonds, Lieb, had injured one of the guards with a rock. The damage was minimal, however, and had already been healed. The other, Paulin, had been taken with no difficulty. Lieb shouted against his gag during the entire recitation of events. Richter used Analyze. Name, Lieb, level 12. Disposition, Loathing. Race, Human. Stats, Health, 180. Mana, 90. Stamina, 160. Attributes, Strength, 42. Agility, 12. Dexterity, 13. Constitution, 18. Endurance, 16. Intelligence, 9. Wisdom, 9. Charisma, 10. Luck, 11. Description. Humans are one of the shortest-lived but most prolific breeders in the land. Humans have a broader affinity for skills than other races. No special bonuses to race. Humans receive 4 points to distribute per level. Name, Pollen. Level, 12. Disposition, Apathetic. Race, Human. Stats, Health, 160. Mana, 110. Stamina, 170. Attributes, Strength, 38. Agility, 13. Dexterity, 12. Constitution, 16. Endurance, 17. Intelligence, 11. Wisdom, 10. Charisma, 12. Luck, 10. Description, Humans are one of the shortest-lived but most prolific breeders in the land. Humans have a broader affinity for skills than other races. No special bonuses to race. Humans receive 4 points to distribute per level. Randolphus had been right. Both of them had invested heavily in strength but neglected their other stats. Back when Richter had been gaming, they had a special name for people that built characters like that. Vodka shots. Strong, but if they didn't kill you with the first shot, you could easily wear them down with a higher movement and attack speed. They were also known as absolute dumbasses. Richter turned his attention to Randolphus. Is there anything else you have to add, Chamberlain?
Nothing that you do not already know, my lord, the spy replied.
Then tell all who are assembled here why these men and women have been arrested. Speak clearly of their crimes and the evidence arrayed against them. I want everyone to know what has occurred. There will be no doubt in anyone's mind that this village is a place of law.
Richter's last words were more barked than spoken.
Randolphus gave him a slightly puzzled look, but did as he was commanded. He presented the evidence in the same way he had before. He detailed the body being found and his interviews with the freed captives. That led him to relate how he had identified the woman and how she had named her attackers. The Chamberlain also spoke of how the men and women kneeling in front of the stage had been accused by many of the freed captives as being informants and abusers while they had been enslaved by the goblins. Much of the information was the same as Tarad had already shared, which was of course the point of this for Richter. A great murmuring was taken up by all present. There were shouts from the crowd condemning the bound men and women. A few of the kneeling captives cried out that they were being unjustly accused. Upon hearing that, though, the murmurs coming from the other captives rose to the level of a clamor.
Murderers! Elam killed my brother! He raped me! Kill them! Kill them all!
In the space of a minute, the noise of the crowd swelled in volume to a roar. The villagers were still talking amongst themselves, but the freed captives were working themselves into a frenzy. The months, or in some cases, years of abuse and degradation they had suffered at the hands of the goblins had created a festering rage that began to bubble over. Every hurt, every indecency, every beating was being remembered all at once. A monster was clawing itself up into the light. There was no doubt in Richter's mind that it was ravenous and would only be satisfied with the lives of the 14 people who were now on trial. Richter knew he had seconds, not minutes, to regain control. Speaking a word of power, red light surrounded his hand and a gout of orange flame shot from his hand. The show of magic quieted the burgeoning mob instantly. He stopped channeling the spell and glared at them all.
I will have quiet! The Chaos Seed bellowed. This village is a place of law, not mob rule.
Alma took that moment to descend from above with a cry. She landed on his shoulder and hissed at the crowd. Flanking Richter were Hisako, Tarad, Calder, and Randolphus, standing resolute behind him. The show of strength and support was unmistakable. The crowd of freed prisoners were reminded that the man speaking to them was the same powerful being that had slain an army of goblins. They got the message.
I and I alone will decide the fate of these men and women. You are here to witness my judgment. Any who wish to challenge my right to do so should speak now, he shouted.
He looked out at the crowd, daring anyone to step forward. No one did. Turning his back to the crowd, he spoke to Sergeant Calder.
Ungag the accused. This is horse shit, Lieb shouted as soon as his mouth was clear.
Richter just looked at him, and what the man saw in his eyes quieted him, though the arrogant expression did not fully leave his face.
Speak when I ask you a question, Richter told him coldly. Not before.
The man glared back, but was smart enough not to directly challenge the leader of the settlement he was standing in. After staring down the captive, Richter turned his attention to the victim. Analy showed him that her name was Gilla. Softening his face, he gently asked, Would you please tell your story? I promise that you have nothing to fear from these men ever again. Gilla was clearly still fearful. It made rage rise in Richter's heart to see her battered face. Though he tried to hide it, she still felt his anger. She had learned long ago that she could still be blamed for the horrible things that others did to her. Though Richter was trying to put her at ease, he just looked like one more angry man blaming her for the sins of others. Luckily, Hisako stepped forward. Though she was a fearsome enemy, the Hearth Mother could also exude a peaceful aura just by her presence. She furthered that feeling by casting a life spell. As the bruises slowly faded from the woman's face, Hisako embraced the woman. No one else ever knew what she whispered to Gilla, but her face firmed somewhat. A few moments later, Gilla straightened and recounted the crime that had befallen her and her brother. Richter expected her to stop in the middle of her story, racked with sobs. That did not happen. Instead, she spoke in a detached voice, relating the horrors she had survived. This was somehow worse. It was like she was describing something that had happened to someone else. Richter's hands started shaking slightly as he considered just how much pain and degradation the woman must have suffered for her to simply accept that such atrocities could be commonplace. Lieb, of course, started shouting slurs and protests almost immediately. With a gesture, Richter had Calder replace the gag so that Gilla could finish. Once she was done, the cloth was removed again. Lieb wasted no time.
This is troll shit! You know your mouth is good for only one thing, slat!
He barked an ugly laugh.
Besides, I didn't do anything that she didn't want.
Richter didn't even have to speak up. Calder backhanded the man with his gauntlet. Lieb fell to his knees, dazed for a second, but after a few moments he just grinned maniacally up at the sergeant. Part of his cheek had been torn and blood dripped from his mouth. Paulin, the other accused, watched Lieb's foolish bravado with a scared and sorrowful expression on his face.
Do you have anything else to say?
Richter asked Gilla. She shook her head. Richter had her led off the stage. He didn't want her in harm's way for what was going to come next. Then, with a cold voice, he looked back at Lieb.
Get that piece of shit on his feet. Cut him free.
The guards pulled Lieb up from the ground and cut his bonds. Richter moved his arm slowly and everyone backed away, leaving him alone in the middle of the stage with the man. The Chaos Seeds stalked towards him. Everyone watching could sense his violent demeanor and knew that whatever was about to happen would happen soon. It seemed like the land itself had caught its breath with how silent it had become. Lieb just glared back at Richter and raised his fists. Whatever else was true about the man, he wasn't a coward. That didn't bother Richter. In fact, it just made what was coming more enjoyable. He stopped just outside of Lieb's reach and asked as lightly as he could manage,
Now you were saying something about troll shit?
Yeah, Lieb answered defiantly.
He spat a bloody wad onto the wooden stage. Then he pointed at Gilla in the audience.
That's my fuckhole, and her baby brother should have known better than to stand between me and my property.
Richter didn't understand how this man could stand there and say such things. He searched Lieb's face, looking for obvious signs of evil. Devil horns, shark teeth, or glowing red eyes. Has he continued to observe the man, though? He saw nothing more than a violent thug, too dumb to keep his mouth shut, but large enough to intimidate most people and take what he wanted. Maybe the man was evil. Maybe he was a monster. Maybe he was just someone who had been through horrible things. Richter's rational mind posited several ideas to try and make sense of the man in front of him, to find some reason for why this person could be so hateful and damaged. Then the strongest part of Richter took control, and he realized that none of that mattered. It was the part of him that didn't shy from difficult truths and didn't complain when there was something hard to be done. The truth was that the label monster didn't matter. The truth was that this man was a threat to the village. The truth was, Lieb wouldn't live to see another sunrise. The part of Richter that discovered these truths understood that once you committed to a course of action, there was nothing left to fear. It was only the jump that was worthy of trepidation. The fall afterward was freedom. The muscles in his neck eased and his jaw relaxed. He was going to enjoy what came next. Richter's pulse started to pound in his ears. The only reason he hadn't already opened the man from neck to pucker pie was that his entire village was watching. That fact wouldn't save Lieb, but the Chaos Seed was old school about discipline. If you administered a beating the right way the first time, the fear and pain could be an effective deterrent to future infractions. Lieb himself would not benefit from that knowledge, but the rest of Richter's villagers would. Richter could barely control himself, but he still forced out one final question. Do you deny any of the accusations that have been leveled against you? Lieb spoke again, completely ignoring the pleading, mewling sound Paulin made.
You don't listen too good, do you, little lordling? I fucked that whore and I killed her brother.
Gilla gave a frightened whimper and tried to hide behind the guard standing with her.
And I'll tell you something else. You should never have cut my hands free.
With no further warning, he attacked. Lieb threw a quick left jab, turning his hips in a practiced move he had performed for years. He followed with another left jab, then a right hook. He stepped into it and swung his right elbow into Richter's jaw and then snapped a short, straight punch into Richter's face to finish the five-move combo. Not one of the blows landed. Richter had been waiting for this very thing to happen. He had not increased his unarmed combat skill at all since learning the sub-skill pressure points so many months ago, but in the land, skills did not always translate into success. Someone with a high skill level in swordsmanship might still lose to someone with better technique, stats, or foresight. Richter possessed all three. Lieb learned what a difference that could make. His agility and dexterity were three times what the heavily muscled man could call upon. While Alma launched herself into the air, Richter dodged both quick jabs, then took a wide step to the right to avoid the hook. The elbow fell well short, and the short punch he knocked aside almost lazily. Richter's own strength of 33 was a good deal less than Leap's 42, but deflecting a strike wasn't a matter of brute force. It was speed and the application of energy. The rapist couldn't keep up. Richter stepped past Lieb as the other man blinked in surprise at striking empty air. The Chaos Seed started speaking again, and his tone was almost understanding.
You know, I get you. You were just doing what you had to do. You were bigger than that other guy, so you beat him up. You were bigger than this young woman, he said, so you decided to rape and violate her.
Richter continued to circle the man as he spoke, and the would-be rapist's face had finally started to show fear. The change didn't placate the Lord of the Mist Village in any way. The man's own admission had sealed his fate, but Richter found that he enjoyed the man's fear. There was no rush to end the charade. He stopped moving for a second and stared the man directly in the eyes. In that moment, nothing else existed but the two of them. Richter's teeth bared as he spoke again, slowly and with barely restrained venom.
I understand.
He took a deep breath and promised his inner fury that it could feed soon. The Chaos Seed plastered a false smile on his face.
Now, the only problem with your goals is that I have to protect my people, namely from murderous, rapist sons of bitches like you and your friend there. You understand that, don't you?
Lieb's reply was to attack again. He aimed a brutal push kick at Richter's chest. It had no greater chance of landing than the earlier attacks. He followed it up with another 1-2 combo, but to Richter, the man might as well have been punching through water. The slow attack speed just couldn't keep up with Richter's high attribute values. As the KLC dodged to the side, he noticed a faintly glowing red spot on Lieb's thigh. He jabbed 2 stiff fingers into the area and the leg spasmed. It wasn't a debilitating strike, but it numbed the man's appendage. Lieb was able to keep his feet, but he now had a limp that would last for several seconds. Richter continued pacing around Lieb, murder in his gaze. Despite the death in his eyes, he spoke as if the second attack had never happened.
Both of you understand that, right?
This question was directed at Paulin as well. The man was weeping at this point. Richter considered telling him to accept his fate with dignity, but then decided it wasn't worth it. He'd be dead soon enough.
Please, my lord,
the crier begged.
I'm so sorry. If you would only allow me—
No,
Richter said with finality. He and Lieb were still circling one another.
I do not need your apologies. You may apologize to Gilla, however, when this is done. Until then,
and the last 2 words were spoken with quiet menace.
Stay silent.
Richter turned his full attention back to Lieb. The man was massaging his thigh and looked to have gained back almost full mobility. The Chaos Seed finished his point in a conversational tone, a shark circling with a full-toothed smile.
I'm relieved to tell you that despite the fact that our goals are diametrically opposed,
he paused when he saw the look of confusion on Lieb's face.
Diametric means, doesn't matter. The point is, despite the fact that we want different things, this is not an insurmountable problem. Where I come from, there is a time-honored way for 2 men to solve just this type of problem.
Richter's smile widened even wider.
I'll Rochambeau you for it.
Lieb looked confused again.
Let me explain, Richter offered helpfully. The way it works is that you kick me in the balls as hard as you can, and I kick you in the balls as hard as I can. We keep doing that until one of us can't stand anymore. Okay?
Lieb looked at Richter like he was insane, but then just vomited. He barely heard Richter say,
I go first,
because his world devolved into more pain than he could have imagined. Faster than Lieb was able to follow, Richter had kicked up into the man's crotch with all 33 points of his strength. It was easy to forget just what a stat-enhanced body could do to bare flesh, but his armored foot struck as hard as a sledgehammer. The entire time the man had been waiting for Richter to arrive, the entire time he had been arrogantly throwing insults and thinking he could control the situation, he didn't know that the Chaos Seed had already decided upon the punishment he would enact if he found the man guilty. That was why he had put the boots on beforehand. The only instrument of his justice that he would require. One of Lieb's testicles burst instantly under the ball-crushing force, leaving a pulped mess inside of the scrotum. The other was forced deep inside the man's body, a defensive measure to preserve a man's reproductive ability. It didn't help. The vessels supplying the small organ twisted into a condition called testicular torsion. It was a topic Richter and every other male med student learned to fear and watch out for. The lack of blood flow quickly starved the tissues of oxygen. The testicle would die inside of a man's body in under 5 minutes. Those 5 minutes, however, would be the longest of a man's life as he experienced the gradual cell death of his genitalia. That was not the only damage Richter's brutal kick achieved. The tip of Lieb's penis was caught against his thigh, and the shearing force caused the head to sever from the root. The upward force cracked his pelvic bone, and the blunt trauma continued up his spine, fracturing 2 vertebrae. It was not enough to sever Lieb's spinal cord, but his legs would not have been able to function properly even if he had weeks to recover. Despite the massive trauma, Lieb actually remained on his feet for a few seconds. It wasn't bravado. It was an involuntary reaction. Lieb's muscles were locked into immobility as his neurons were overloaded with pain. When he finally fell, it almost looked like it was in slow motion. One leg gave out completely, but the other just shook like tapped jelly until it too failed and Lieb crumpled to the ground. He landed on his back, and a quickly growing spot of red appeared on his breeches as blood spurted out of the stump of his ruined penis. The crowd did not need to wait until Lieb fell to hear his complete and utter agony. He just began to scream. All levity left Richter's face as he looked down at one more vanquished foe. His gaze was utterly without mercy or empathy. It was with a cold and calculated stare that he realized Lieb was bleeding out too quickly. Richter's hand wove in a dual spell form and he cast Weak Stabilize. The low-ranked spell couldn't fix all the damage, but he didn't want it to. He just needed the man to live a few more minutes. Lieb continued his high-pitched screams on the ground, and blood kept trickling from his torn member. Richter turned his back on him and walked over to Paulin. Quietly, almost softly, he asked, "Would you like to ask Gilla for her forgiveness now?" The second man looked at Richter, and then at Lieb screaming on the ground. The man's legs were kicking spasmodically, and he had both hands cupped over his privates in a useless attempt to stop further attacks. As if there was any more damage that could be done. Lieb's wretched wailing continued, and his fellow rapist looked at Richter with a vain hope on his face.
I do, my lord.
He raised his bound hands to grab the Chaos Seed's hand and kissed where a lord's signet ring would normally be.
Thank you, my lord. Please, let me apologize.
Richter pulled his hand back in disgust. The man turned his attention to Gilla, who was still hiding in the crowd.
I am so sorry. It was not my idea. I swear it. I had to. Lieb said he would kill me if I didn't help. I liked your brother. Truly, I did. If you would only give me another chance, I promise I will never harm you again.
He turned his face back towards Richter.
I will serve you, my lord. I am a hard worker. I will prove it. Just please do not do that to me.
He furtively glanced over at Lieb, who was still wailing on the ground. A red puddle several feet in diameter had formed under the man.
Do you accept his apology, Gilla? Richter asked.
The battered woman looked first at the man, begging for mercy, and then at Richter. She had lost perhaps her only family and had been brutalized by the two men on the stage. Something feral made its way into her eyes when she answered,
No.
I wouldn't either, Richter said grimly. Bring him, the Chaos Seed said, pointing to the pleading man. The man started wailing.
No. No! I'm sorry! I'm so sorry! Please! It wasn't my idea! No!
Calder gagged the man and forced him to his knees near the front of the stage. It didn't stop him from continuing to plead for his life, but in Richter's opinion, it was an improvement. The Chaos Seed walked to the front of the stage and addressed everyone present.
These two creatures, Richter spoke vehemently, have violated the body of a woman under my protection. They've taken the life of a man who was under my protection. I will ask once, and only once. Are there any here who would speak on behalf of these men? Do so now, because you will never get another chance.
Silence reigned in the crowd. Some of the freed prisoners looked pleased. Many of the men looked appalled. More than a few looked at him in fear, but everyone held their peace. No one spoke up for Paulin, softly sobbing on the ground, wrapped in his own personal hell. The only sounds were the wailing of Lieb, the choked begging of his accomplice, and a stiff wind that had now begun to blow with the promise of storms to come. Richter walked over to Lieb. He hadn't been sure exactly what would happen when he used all of his strength to send his armored foot hurtling towards the rapist's unprotected genitalia, but he knew it would be bad. This was worse. The man still had a bleeding status that was quickly sapping his remaining health. Must have severed the pudendal artery, Richter thought distantly. The Chaos Seed leaned over him and spoke with deadly intensity, but in a voice loud enough for all to hear, he said, You are not done yet, you piece of shit. Then, to the surprise of all, Richter started casting. Gold light surrounded his hands as he cast Weak Slow Heal and Minor Slow Heal. The cooldown had not elapsed on Weak Stabilize, but a thought to Alma got her to cast the spell on the screaming man again. The heal spells worked in conjunction, and Lieb's health began rising. The spell did almost nothing to alleviate the pain the rapist was feeling, though, a fact that Richter quite enjoyed. Richter looked back out at the crowd.
Rape and murder will not be tolerated in my lands, Look at him. Look!
He commanded in a thundering voice. The people, villagers, and freed captives alike did as they were told, though many had to turn away from the horrible tableau only moments later. A few vomited, and tears ran down many of their faces.
See what will happen if you think you can simply take from those who are not as strong as you. Anyone here that thinks they are a wolf among sheep, take a look at me. You may be a beast, but I'm a fucking nightmare.
His voice deepened without conscious thought, and it seemed to many that something dark and horrible was speaking from inside of Richter.
I will devour you.
Richter grabbed Paulin by the front of the shirt, lifting him up slightly. Then he began to punch him in the face. The first punch broke his nose. The next dislocated his jaw, and the third fractured the eye socket and detached the man's retina. The rapist descended two more levels into his own personal hell. Blubbering snot mixed with blood began to fill Poland's lungs. With a sneer, Richter looked at the blood on his split knuckles and wiped it on the man's shirt. The Chaos Seed dropped him and straightened up. He looked around at his people again.
You have a simple choice. You can stand with me and grow in power. More importantly, you can make your life and power mean something. Or,
he pointed to the sniveling wretch at his feet,
you can stand against me and the ideals that the Mist Village embodies, and you will be brought low. Either way, you will still serve this village.
Richter summoned two mist workers. The level 8 humanoids coalesced into being, standing cold and emotionless. He gave an order to one of them and pointed at Lieb.
Pick that man up and do not let him escape.
The construct did as it was bid. Even if the rapist had been at full health, he might not have been able to resist the prodigious strength of the summoned creature. Mistworkers were slow and plodding, and were so practically useless in a fight. In terms of raw strength, however, they were impressive. Lieb blubbered in the worker's gray arms like an abandoned baby. No fight remained in the man. Richter accessed his interface, adding the man to a short list of people. A mark appeared on the condemned man's chest. Then he looked at the other rapist. Paulin had finally screamed himself out. Blood and drool ran down his chin from the left side of his ruined mouth, and his eyes pleaded for mercy. He found none. Richter gave him access to the dungeon as well, and had the other mist worker pick him up. Neither man received immunity from the doubt debuff. The Chaos Seed looked back out at the crowd.
Hear my judgment, he boomed. I, Lord Richter of the Mist Village, by right of my mastery of this place of power and the covenant I have made with the people who reside here, do pass the following judgment. For the crimes of rape and murder within my domain, I hereby sentence these two men to death.
He paused, poignantly.
By dungeon.
Paulin started screaming anew through his gag. Lieb just lay on his back, trapped in a world of pain. Richter ignored both of them. He had weighed the pros and cons of declaring the dungeon's existence, but keeping it secret was impossible. The villagers already knew, and the freed captives had transported with the damn thing. That meant they probably all knew. If some of them decided to leave the village and spread that information, so be it. Richter was beginning to realize that the time for hiding had passed. That was a concern for another time, though. There was still work to be done.
They shall be thrown inside to feed the creatures that dwell within. More than that, their names are never to be uttered again within my domain. If you must speak of them, simply call them the Forsaken.
A distant crack of thunder accompanied his pronouncement. Richter looked up towards the heavens, wondering if the universe itself was agreeing with his decree or perhaps levying judgment against him in turn. Richter had well learned the power of words in the land, but he had not spoken idly. Anyone who betrayed his hospitality and trust would suffer. Though he had taken some small enjoyment from the pain of the two rapists, he was now sickened by the entire affair. With a dismissive tone and an errant wave of his hand, Richter gave a command.
Take them to the dungeon and throw them through the portal.
The stress of the situation affected Richter more than he knew, and his stress level was rising high. Some of the guards did not move as quickly as he wanted. His next words cracked like a whip.
Now!
Some of the guards had been staring at their lord in shocked immobility. The unfettered violence and rage had shaken them. The snap in his voice, however, shook them out of their torpor. The mist workers were already leaving the stage. Calder barked an order, and a strike squad accompanied the constructs and their burdens away from the stage. The villagers they had to pass through parted before them. Just before they had left earshot, the second man must have worked his gag partially free. Some of the villagers could still hear him clearly, despite his ruined mouth.
Please! Please don't kill me!
If Richter heard, he gave no sign of mercy or remorse, neither for condemning the two men to death or the pain he had extracted from them before his pronouncement. He just pointed to the other 12 men and women awaiting trial.
Bring them here.
His voice was detached, merely a craftsman moving on to the next task to be completed. All 12 of the remaining accused shared one emotion and one thought. The emotion was fear. The thought? That their lives had been better under the goblins before they were rescued by the remorseless demon who now held their lives in his hands. Chapter 41, Day 143, Qbuborn 33, 0 AOC. Congratulations, you have reached skill level 2 in unarmed combat, plus 4% to unarmed combat damage, plus 0.2 to natural armor. Congratulations, you have reached subskill level 2 in pressure points, plus 4% to spotting pressure points, plus 4% to magnitude of effect. Richter read and then dismissed the prompts he had earned from his punishment of the two men. He absently noted that he had been neglecting this area of his training. The bonus to natural armor, meaning his skin, was enough of a motivation by itself to level his unarmed combat skill. With clinical detachment, he resolved to make it a priority in the near future. His mind was wrenched from consideration of his skills by that strange feeling again, like when he was about to enter the dungeon. It vanished before he could pinpoint a direction. Richter looked across the crowd but didn't see anything new. He turned his attention to the accused. All 12 of the remaining men and women had been brought onto the stage. They were not kneeling. Instead, they faced the crowd in a semicircle, with Richter in the epicenter, the conductor for the performance that was about to ensue. Richter went through the same process as before. He announced to the crowd what these 12 men and women were accused of doing. Then he went down the line, one at a time, and asked how they responded to the charges. All of them showed some degree of fear, but the answers varied. Some merely stared back. Others sobbed, and some loudly protested their innocence. One man looked like he was about to confess, but a quick elbow from the woman to his right silenced him. None of that mattered. What was important to Richter was that the forms of justice were being followed. This entire trial was a tool he was using. It was to establish to all present that his village was a lawful place. He had already decided what he was going to do before the trial started. While the accused spoke, the other freed captives grumbled, and a few called out from the crowd in the same choruses as before.
Liars! Murderers! Traitors!
The passion of the crowd did not reach the nearly mob level of before, so Richter felt no need to curtail their emotions. If these 12 people were guilty of the crimes they were accused of, then they deserved far worse than a few angry shouts. Once the last woman had had her say, Richter asked again,
"Will anyone here speak on their behalf?"
Unsurprisingly, no one raised their voice. He looked at Hisako to see if the hearth mother had anything to add, but she just gazed levelly back, neither encouraging nor condemning. That banished his last bit of self-doubt. Richter turned to the 12 and raised his voice.
"I, Lord Richter of the Mist Village, by right of my mastery of this place of power and the covenant I have made with the people who reside here, do pass the following judgment. None of you are my subjects, nor have you, to my knowledge, performed acts within my domain that merit punishment. If what is said about you is true, however, you have broken basic laws of decency.
There were calls of agreement from the other freed slaves. Richter let it go on for about half a minute before raising a hand for quiet.
Despite this, and despite the hundreds who seem to be speaking against you, I will not sentence anyone to death or other severe punishments based solely on the words of others without proof.
More rumblings came from the former slaves.
But, he stated sharply, raising his voice, I also will not ignore the accusations of so many. So, you will be given a choice.
Richter looked around at the 12 accused sympathizers, his gaze steely and implacable.
My truthsayer, Sumiko, will return from her trial soon. Anyone that wishes to prove their innocence will be kept in comfortable confinement until then. After she proves the truth of your words one way or another, you will be freed or disciplined accordingly. That is the first option.
More than a few looked off in the direction the two rapists had been carried away in. There was no question what the consequence would be if they were found guilty of rape or murder. They all stayed quiet to hear the other options.
Two, you may admit guilt now. I will take your willingness to confess into account.
Still, silence reigned.
Three, my guards will escort you to the edge of my domain. Make no mistake, if you choose this option, you will be forever banished from my lands. If you are ever found here in the future, you will be killed on sight.
No one spoke until one man, the one that had caused the largest uproar from the other freed slaves when he had proclaimed his innocence, protested.
Travel through the forest of Nadria is a death sentence!
Another spat.
How would we even get through these cursed mists?
Richter barely noticed the defensive enchantment anymore because of his immunity. It was just a faint haze that followed the circular boundary. To them, though, he knew it must almost seem like the world ended in a wall of swirling white. This was something he had already taken into account, however.
You will be led away from the village by my guards. After an hour, I will give you immunity to the mists for 5 hours. That should be enough to get you safely to the boundaries of my realm.
What if we cannot move fast enough?
One woman asked.
Then you will die. Richter might as well have been discussing the price of bread.
If you try to return to the village, you will be killed. If you meander, you will still be in the mists when your immunity expires and the monsters of my domain will feed upon you. I am not without sympathy, however. If you choose exile, you will each be given provisions to sustain you and daggers to protect yourselves. The Kingdom of Eve is 2 weeks' travel west. You will be able to make your own way from there.
More of the 12 began to object, so Richter just raised his voice and said,
Remember that you may avoid the dangers of the forest by simply waiting to speak with my truthsayer.
He made eye contact with each of the men and women, but few could keep his gaze. To the last man and woman, they all chose the third option. Richter told Calder to prepare a contingent of guards to escort them away from the village. He wanted them gone within the quarter hour. The sergeant marched off to do just that. Once they had departed, amid cursing and weak promises of retribution, Richter addressed everyone else gathered.
My villagers, I'm sorry that you had to witness this ugliness. Please go on about your day, safe in the knowledge that any who harm us will suffer 10 times over. We leave within the week for battle. Go prepare.
His villagers filed away. He also spoke to the freed captives who had just watched the punishment of the men and women who had made their horror-filled lives even more unbearable.
To the rest of you, I will say the same thing I said last night. If my truthsayer tells me you are not a danger to this village, you are welcome to stay. If you do, I will never give you false promises. I will not promise your safety or your success. What I do promise is that come what may, I will stand with you. I promise that as I rise, you will rise with me. Now please, find what comfort you can in that, and go with my hope that you will now rest easier than you could before. Your children will be returned to you within the hour. I appreciate your understanding in that I did not want them to witness what just happened.
Everyone began to disperse. Tirad posted guards around the cleared area that the freed prisoners could easily move about in, an area now much smaller than the night before. Richter walked up to Gilla and, as softly as he could manage, apologized for the loss of her brother. He asked his name and found out that the brave young man had been called Yawick. She mumbled a thank you and retreated to be with the rest of the former captives. Richter felt emotionally exhausted, but he knew it still wasn't done. He had a short but intense conversation with Alma. The Dragonling mentally voiced her assent and assurances before launching from his shoulders and flying west. Hisako walked up to him before he left the stage. Without preamble, she said,
"You are a hard man, Lord Richter."
"I did what needed to be done," he responded firmly.
That was his initial intention, anyway. After he spoke, even he noticed his voice was aggressive and defensive.
"I do not judge you," she told him in a level voice. "We will both need to be strong to face what is coming."
She turned and strode away with Yoshi in tow. Before the Sword Adept had taken two steps, he stopped and nodded once to Richter. It was the acknowledgement of one hard man to another, and it somehow made the Chaos Seed feel better. He was not as unyielding as he wanted his people to believe. He did not regret the deaths of the two rapists or any of his other decisions. In his heart, he knew they were necessary, but his hands were starting to shake now with repressed emotions and stress. Still, it felt good to have the respect of the Adept, a man that he in turn respected. Richter left the stage. Despite everything that had happened, it didn't change the fact that there was still so much work to do. Randolphus followed him.
"Where are you headed now, my lord?"
"I will do some more enchanting before we go into the dungeon today. The way I'm feeling, I think hitting monsters very hard with sharp objects will do me good. But first, I want some time to myself. I still feel like garbage from what I was drinking last night."
That, he waved behind him, did not improve my mood. His tone made it clear that he did not want to gab and share his feelings, but Randolphus still followed silently behind. Just before they got to the smithy, Richter turned to his chamberlain, his companion, the spy, and asked, "What is it that you need to say?"
"I agree with your punishment of the first two men. It is good to make an example in a way that others will remember. You are also to be commended for showing mercy to the other 12. It will endear you even further to your people."
Randolphus stopped speaking, but in a way that was obvious he had more to say.
"Spit it out," Richter said quietly. He didn't even have the emotional wherewithal to be irritated that Randy hadn't finished his thought.
The chamberlain continued, unperturbed. After nearly a century of serving different rulers, he was well used to the variable natures of those in power.
"I believe the 12 that you freed are a danger to us, my lord. It is my belief that they were rightly accused and were informers for the goblins. Such people are inherently untrustworthy. They do not know much, but what they do know about the village is enough to bring death to our doorstep. If they come into contact with one of our enemies in Eve, the village could be put in further jeopardy. Even their knowledge of the dungeon would be enough for a noble to march an army here. We are only 2 weeks' journey from my former country, even less by boat. As we have already learned, the mists are not a perfect defense."
Randolphus paused momentarily, but then continued without prompting.
"You said that you wanted my honest counsel, my lord. I believe letting these people live is a mistake. That error is compounded by letting them go free. Most will probably die in the forest, but if even one makes it to civilization, it could spell catastrophe. I understand your desire for fairness and justice, but I would suggest that the appearance of justice will suffice in this case. If you will permit me, I can follow the guards unseen and handle this problem. As far as any in the village will ever know, the 12 will just have left. The villagers will still believe your anger is tempered with mercy, and the danger will have been removed."
Richter looked at his chamberlain. The spy wasn't being overly cryptic, and he was a spy. It didn't take a rocket scientist to get what he was saying. Randolphus was making excellent points while showing that he fully understood what Richter's motivations and goals had been in the trial. Despite all of that, Richter shook his head.
"I do appreciate your counsel, Randolphus. You know that I respect you, but I do not want you to follow them. I have already dispatched Alma to monitor the progress. They will not be a danger to us."
The chamberlain's face tightened momentarily with indecision. He was a consummate professional, a noble by birth and rearing, if not by title. As such, he followed propriety almost to a fault. In this case, though, Where the lives of everyone in the village could be put in jeopardy, he decided to abandon protocol and push the issue.
My lord, I did not mean that they would pose an immediate danger by returning to the village. I meant that they could tell others important information about our village. Despite the mists, they have seen many things. The only danger is not from Eve. They could be captured by bugbears, goblins, or kobolds once night falls. You stole something of immense power from the Ashstalker clan. They are one of the largest goblin clans in the entire River Peninsula. They number in the tens of thousands, if not the hundreds of thousands. I could never get accurate reports, and the goblins are prolific breeders. The Greenskins are a naturally divisive people, but for the affront of taking the Bloodstone, they would unite and wash over this village in a wave of blood and blades. Again, my lord, I urge you, let me deal with this threat.
Randolphus's face was earnest and concerned. It was obvious to Richter that the Chamberlain was doing his best to serve. Richter cared about ceremony and propriety, not at all, but even if he did, the genuine entreaty in the Chamberlain's face would have caused him to forgive his companion. The Chaos Seed placed one hand on the spy's shoulder. With patient sincerity, Richter repeated, "You do not need to do anything. Alma is watching them." He did not expect Randolphus to stop, though. It was written all over the man's face that he would try to change Richter's mind again. As predicted, the Chamberlain tried to convince his liege again.
"Please reconsider, my lord. The poison fruit from today's decision may not ripen for weeks or months, but it could be enough to kill us all. If you worry about dirtying my hands, I promise you the few cups of blood I spill this day is nothing compared to the red seas that I have swum through in my past."
Richter stared at the man, not because the argument had swayed him one way or another, but because Randolphus still had not shared many details of his life in Eve. Spymaster for the Court of Eve meant he had probably been involved in all manner of sins, but this was the first time the spy had admitted to being an assassin as well. Richter wasn't overly bothered by this, but it was a good reminder of just how dangerous the man standing before him truly was. Richter listened to his Chamberlain with an open mind and without interruption. He heard everything the man had to say. When the spy finished speaking for the third time, he merely looked him in the eye and then repeated slowly, in a voice heavy with meaning, "It is not necessary. Alma is watching them. She will remove any threat they might pose now or in the future." Randolphus looked back, confused. Then his eyes widened in understanding. He looked at Richter as if seeing him for the first time. The Chamberlain remembered that the Dragonling had left as soon as the judgment had been passed. That meant, if he understood correctly, that Richter had already seen the danger the 12 posed. More than that, his liege had already found a solution that both kept the people of the village believing in his mercy and removed the threat. Even as he ordered the prisoners escorted out of the village for their safety, he had ordered the bloody actions necessary to safeguard his people's lives. Randolphus's respect for Richter grew. It was rare to find an honorable ruler who also understood that honor was a luxury one could not always afford. Randolphus bowed deeply.
"My lord is most wise. If you say there is no cause for concern, I will, of course, trust your judgment. By your leave, I shall go see about my duties."
Richter nodded back and entered the forge to begin enchanting. It was with a bit of a surprise that he received a series of prompts. "Kindness and mercy are not the only virtues in the land. Strength and decisiveness are also to be treasured. By identifying and dealing with a threat quietly, you have shown your Chamberlain that you understand the demands of power. The spy's estimation of you has improved. You have gained +3,549 relationship points with Randolphinius. Total relationship points, +35,244. Congratulations, your relationship with Randolphinius has improved from steadfast, +20,000, to trusted, +35,000. Your word is enough for me." The effect of these relationships never ceased to amaze him. He thought about all the other people like himself, gamers who might have been transported to this world. Most gamers were only as loyal as their options and placed little stock in connections with others. Even more were antisocial. Anyone like that would most likely have a very difficult time making their way through the land. Richter turned his attention back to the matter at hand, enchanting. He didn't want a repeat of the exploding mace. He avoided any dual enchantments. Even as he practiced his profession, part of his attention was focused on the visual feed he was getting from Alma. Through his familiar's eyes, he watched the banished men and women walk away from the village.